Please join me as we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have sent down your word, the manna from heaven, to teach and lead us, to guide us, and in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us to you. We pray that your Holy Spirit now will take that same word and apply it to our hearts and lives, that we may give you glory and praise, that your kingdom may be extended, that your people may be blessed. We pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. The 13th chapter of the book of Acts tells us the beginning of Paul's first missionary journey. And toward the end of that chapter, there's this arresting phrase that gets my attention every time I read it. It comes near the conclusion of a sermon that Paul has been giving in the synagogue at Pisidian Antioch, one of the first stops on his first missionary journey. And Paul has already, by this point, told the congregation about the death and resurrection of Jesus, which is new news to them in that assembly. And he says this, "Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, that through this man, that is Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and that by him everyone is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses." By him everyone is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Think about that for a moment. The Mosaic law says, for example, don't kill. But Paul says that prohibition can't free you. You may not literally murder someone, but we know from the Sermon on the Mount that even holding anger against another person is a form of violating that commandment. The law of Moses lays out the dictate. That law exists, and it's been communicated to us. But those circumstances alone, plus a quarter, will get you a shopping cart at Aldi. It does nothing to enable us to keep the prohibition. We still hold anger. Some people live in literally kill. But the gospel says that Jesus has come to set us free from that bondage, that and every other. As we look this morning at the very familiar story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 men as well as women and children, I want us to consider that story that we may know very well from the viewpoint of Jesus' first disciples and also from our own viewpoint with Paul's commentary about the law in mind. It cannot free us. But by Jesus, everyone is freed from everything from which the law could not free us. Well, the context for this story is twofold. In Matthew's gospel, we see that Jesus has just learned of the death of John the Baptist under circumstances that were both unjust and cruel. Mark and Luke add to their account the detail that the disciples have also just returned from the mission trip we heard about a few chapters ago, about a month ago, Matthew chapter 10. Remember their preaching tour through the towns of Israel. So both Jesus and the disciples, for their own reasons, somewhat different in each case, really need some R&R. They need some downtime. And so with that specific intention, they set off to what the ESV calls a desolate place. Different versions in English translate that word different ways. In the original language, it's simply desert. And we know from other places in the Gospels that even after Jesus was tempted in the desert, he will often go back there to meet with the Father. And that whenever he does, eventually, a crowd shows up. And that's what happens here. In this case, it happens before Jesus or the disciples can get so much as a minute of quiet time with God. And Jesus, filled with compassion, heals their sick. Again, Mark and Luke both add the detail that Jesus also taught them. And evidently this took all day because as Matthew continues the account, by now it's evening. The disciples have had no R&R, no downtime. And if you know the four triggers for dysfunctional behavior, which is a fancy phrase that means sin, they are hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. And the disciples are running on at least three of the four, and they probably wish they were more lonely. And so they come to Jesus, and reading between the lines, they explain to him that it's time for the R&R, like right now. By the way, parenthetically, how many of you have ever sought to explain something to the Lord? How'd that work for you? Yeah, I didn't think so. Didn't work too well for me either. So they tell Jesus it's time to send the crowds away. And then what does Jesus say in reply? I love this. They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. The law requires gracious hospitality. You're my ministry team. It's your job to provide it. Now get busy. And I can tell you that if I'm the disciples, I know exactly what I'm going to say in reply. Yeah, sure, Lord. But with exactly what food would you suggest? And I have, after all, the perfect rationalization. You might not have noticed, Lord, but this is a desert. It's not like there's not five fast food joints here to choose from. The best we can do is send them away to buy takeout from McDonald's in the nearest village. Even Andrew, who John, in his account of this event, tells us finally turns up the little boy with his lunch, really doesn't get the point. Well, here's this boy with five loaves and two fish, but what are they among so many? I want to freeze the frame, metaphorically speaking, on the video here and insert a snapshot of Church of the Savior in this moment. It was the World War II Archbishop of Canterbury, William Temple, who famously observed that the church exists by mission as fire exists by burning. Among the many frustrations of this pandemic is this. We've been almost totally disabled from pursuing our local mission. Those of you who have been hands-on involved in those ministries will know that is so from your experience. But here's our problem. We're not that different, really, from the disciples. Jesus has told us that we are to attempt to live together in loving obedience to him and to his commands. And one of those commands is that we are, as a body, to extend his kingdom in Ambridge and to the ends of the earth. And there was no asterisk on that command with a notation that it does not apply in case of a pandemic. Jesus' command to us remains his command. But we are like the disciples, aren't we? Good. Great idea, Jesus, but you just don't understand. We don't have the resources. In our case, it's not loaves and fishes, it's connections that we lack. Well, we know the rest of the story. The visible outcome to the disciples' dilemma turns on Jesus injecting into the situation a response that the disciples' limited perceptual capacities simply could not imagine. Translate into English, he did something they didn't expect. Bring them here to me. And then he proceeds to make a meal of abundance that not only feeds everybody, but satisfies them. We should have picked several of the Psalms this morning that, as Psalm 90 at its end does, allude to that notion of satisfaction. It's a rich theme in the language of the Old Testament. And it means, in its various uses, ultimately, that one finds one's deepest satisfaction in communion with the living, one true living God. By him, by Jesus, everyone is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Jesus gives the disciples a command that is like the law in that they are simply not able to keep it. You give them something to eat. But he doesn't leave them there. Jesus graciously then points them to the means of fulfilling the command. And they still don't believe it. Well, I get that. Would you believe if Jesus said, feed this whole congregation on 5 small pieces of bread? But they do the one thing that he asks them to do. Bring them here to me. And then he does all the heavy lifting. Jesus takes the bread, blesses it, breaks it, and gives it. All the disciples have to do in this story is what they're able to do, to present the resources to Jesus, even though they're laughably small, and then to go distribute the way he multiplies it and pick up the broken pieces afterwards. None of those is a particularly impossible task, even when you're hungry, angry, and tired, and maybe lonely. But there's more. Actually, there's a lot more. I've often puzzled, and maybe you have too, over why Jesus would promise the disciples some downtime and then lead them into a situation where, to all appearances, they didn't get it. And I think, as I've puzzled, I've actually missed the point of the story. Because I think the point of the story is the disciples do get R&R in this event. In John's account, after the feeding, Jesus will rebuke the crowds because they were satiated with food, but missed the point about the one who was giving it to them. The one who has come to set them free from everything from which the law of Moses cannot set them free. I want us to focus in for just a moment on that one very simple phrase. Jesus took the bread, he lifted his eyes to heaven, said a blessing. When Jesus is saying a blessing, he is intimately connected with the Father who is the source of that blessing. As the disciples participate with him in the work that flows out of that blessing, they, like the crowds, are also satisfied. But unlike the crowds, for the disciples, the satisfaction goes way beyond the merely physical. They receive the blessing of seeing and participating in a mighty work of God. It is well said, those get well who learn to serve. When we're struggling with a pandemic, our natural tendency, and I understand that well, is to pull back. I have less energy for everything. Pandemics make you stupid. Pandemics sap your creativity. I get all of that. But if we can trust the leading of the Lord Jesus, to whom this pandemic is no surprise, we too can find his blessing in the opportunity to give ourselves away and in seeing him move also find our rest. Yes, it is true. To all the other burdens of this season, we can add this one. Church of the Savior, we are not able at this time to pursue our mission as we have seen it. Jesus' call to Church of the Savior, to you and to me in this season, is like that of the disciples at that critical moment of dinner time. You give them something to eat. But Lord, we have nothing, and we don't even know who they are. his response remains the same. Bring them here to me. Bring your questions to me. Bring your needs to me. Bring your need to be active in mission to me. Bring your heart that aches for people who in this season are sick, who are hungry, whose lives have been turned upside down. Bring that broken heart, says Jesus, to me. And then watch me work. I will do the heavy lifting. All you have to do is the thing I tell you. And in that moment, when I move, says the Lord, you will meet me and you will find my rest. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you love your church, that you love your people, that you love us even when we are not active in mission, that you love us apart from what we're producing for the kingdom. You just love us. You also love many, and there are many whom you love who in this season are hurting, broken, lost, confused, and needy. Open our eyes, Lord. If we can't pursue the opportunities that we are used to pursuing, show us what we can pursue, and give us the opportunity to serve and obey you there, and may your glory shine through Church of the Savior to Ambridge and to the nations. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.